Well, today is the first day of July, and so our year is, this year is half done, and in spite of the difficulties, I'm excited,
Lord.
And not excited in my own abilities or anything, because I'm not. I want to read a scripture setting here. And Jesus makes a statement in the sixth chapter of Matthew, and he said, "No man can serve two masters. He'll love one and hate the other." I mean, you can't live that way. And then he says in verse 25, this is 6:25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Because consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things." When church-going people move from one city to the next, one of the first things that they look for is a church that's like the one that they have been used to going to. If they're Lutherans, they look for a Lutheran church. If they're Catholics, they find a Catholic church, and whatever. And what they don't know is they are going totally against the Scriptures. And this morning I woke up with something that I'm going to use for a title next week, not this week, but in the message, I'm going to call it First Things First, as simple as it is. And here's the reason why. The Bible says in the next verse that I didn't read, in verse 33, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." See, the thing that the scripture, this is a scripture commandment. It's not just a statement that Jesus put in, it's a commandment. You want to go to heaven? You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In I know where the verse is. I lost my train of thought for a second here, but when Jesus and John the Baptist came, they said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven," or "kingdom of God, is upon you." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is upon you. And the kingdom of heaven being versus the kingdom of this world, the worthlessness of what we have that is around us, the uselessness of who we are and what we are. And I tell you what, I haven't really been getting a good look at myself and humanity and what we are and how hopeless and helpless and, you know, and fragile that we are. We're fragile. and one heartbeat away from falling asleep, going into the next realm. That's how close we are. And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And that is not really the general attitude of the church. It has not been my attitude over the years. But it's beginning to become that.
Lord.
You know, Jesus says, same scripture that I was trying to think of a minute ago and I can't remember it now. I had it in my head and then it disappeared. It won't come either, so I'm going to sit down and when it comes, I'm going to write it on something. Twice. The same one. It must be really important.
First things first. I was sitting and this morning, really affected by the songs, by the way, a couple of them especially. I had just gotten here and come up front to pray, and Corky played a song that says, the one verse is, the main chorus is, Jesus, I am so in love with you. I really want to be able to say that from my heart and mean it. And the another verse was, I am so in awe of you. You know, that's... And I can't quite make out the one. I don't know if it said, I want to speak the words for you or something. Anyway. And then the other one that I'm affected by is, his truth is marching on. You know, that was kind of a patriotic song, but really it's a gospel song.
Yes, it is.
You know, and the very opening thing. I mean, this should, hopefully we should all pray this. My eyes want to see the coming of the glory of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
You better be able to see the glory of the coming of the Lord or you're going to be very sad, you know? And I can't say I can see that now, but that's my desire. That's what I want to strive for. Must have been in a soft spot this morning. You know, I came across some verses. I must have been playing Matthew or something, and actually, I went and reread the one about, I just wanted to see again the context of the thing about, right after Jesus was telling about John the Baptist and mentioned, you know, the violent will take it, the heavens by force. But in chapter 11, that was in... Yeah, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. But we touched on that maybe at the men's meeting. I don't know if I brought it last Sunday. But in there's a little setting here in 11:28. And I don't know, the words just really caught me again. We've heard this a lot. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And I think this is the part that struck me is, for I am gentle, and this is Jesus, and lowly in heart. That seems odd to be coming from Jesus. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that just comforted me, I guess, or whatever. But and then I kept reading and got into 12:18. And it says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen. This is God speaking now, the Father. My beloved. And I think we had a discussion about this once a while back. My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. That's the Father speaking. In whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. Isn't that amazing that God spoke that in Isaiah? So predominantly for the Gentiles, you know. I mean, that's our, thank goodness, you know, that's our salvation. And then I'm just going to point out a little side of the humanity of Christ. And it says in 28 of the same chapter, but if I cast out demons, and he doesn't say by my hand or my strength, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, that kind of makes them separate, doesn't it? And then it says, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then in chapter 15, which I had noticed this once before, and I just come upon it again. Jesus is ministering, and he had, so let's see, in 30 it says, then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others, and laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified who? The God of Israel. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't because Jesus was there that they were glorifying him as God, because it says the God of Israel. And who does Israel call the God of Israel? God the Father, the only Father, you know. So, you know, those kind of things. And there's another place where it says they glorified God when miracles were being done, because they knew that the power of God had come upon a man. Whoever that was, it was, you know, it could have been Peter, Paul, whoever. They knew it was God who was doing this for them, you know, that was providing. And we mentioned this in the men's meeting the other night. And along with this, I was thinking that, like in Acts 5, 15, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord's multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out onto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least, and here we are, we're laying hands and we're praying, and you know, and it's, and laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Now, why? Well, because they knew they would be healed. And it says, then, you know, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And then in verse 31... And I think we've quoted this scripture quite a bit, but it just felt to do it again. It says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, because they were being brought before the elders or whatever and stuff, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers, makes it pretty obvious, raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the second God of the Son, part of the Trinity. No, to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel for forgiveness of sins. And is that like some little minute position? You know, like it means nothing? I mean, I wish I could have that said for me, you know? So, it you know, I think people are so afraid, well, Jesus isn't God. Well, he's the most glorious man that ever walked the earth, you know? And God has given him everything that he has and all the power that he has. And how much more could you want, you know? I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of odd. Well, it's because of the devil, you know. It's and yeah, my I've been quite aware of the evil one in my prayers and such lately. It's like, you know, I am asking for God to give me strength to stand and resist that he might flee. And sure, it might take a long time, but I'm going to be persistent. Because I'm sick of him, you know, and the things he has a hold of and whatever, and the power on this earth and whatever, and for a lot of others too. That's the bad part, is it isn't just me, obviously. So a lot of other people, you know, that he's got in chains and just, you know, tormenting and whatever, you know, it's time to bring him down.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
I still have not been able to think of what it was that I wanted to say, but Ken reminded me of something, an important thing. When they were stoning Stephen in the book of Acts, and, you know, it takes like three pages of what he had to say. It was just a long, long thing. But towards the end of it, he says, he looked up and he said, I see the heavens opened. And I see the Son of Man standing by the throne of God. Isn't that kind of a strange statement to make? I see the Son of Man standing by the throne of God.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking.
You do pretty good, Keith, getting up and down.
Yeah.
I don't know how to sit closer. I was kind of banking on your slowness. you know, Kevin was saying that, you know, love Jesus with all your heart. I know I need to love Jesus more than I love him right now. And I'm not even sure exactly how to do it. Love the Lord, and you know, love God. I have an idea of how to do it. However, I do fear Him more than I love Him. I know that. So I'm hoping God will help me with that, you know. I don't think it's, I mean, yeah, you got to love the Lord with all your heart. Sounds easy. It's not that easy, especially when you live in the world, you know. No. Might be easier to do the Ten Commandments. Anyway, so I've been praying about that. I was sharing a little bit with Keith the other day, and then with Ken, I saw him. About the temple of God, where God dwells. I've always been very, I don't know, dogmatic, if, I don't know if that's the word, but that our, you know, our walk, and our walk is, you know, it's me and God, you know, everything is just me and God, and that it's an individual issue. You know, Jesus, I mean, so many scriptures, but Jesus says, what is that to you if I want this man to live until I come back? You follow me, you know. He's like, just you. But there's a scripture in here. I know, and actually, I'm not going to read them at all, but in Corinthians, there's a bunch of them. But in Ephesians, he says, he speaks about the dwelling place of God. And says, okay, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. So that's Jesus. So, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So I just wanted there, what I wanted to show is that there's gain in the togetherness of brothers, not on the togetherness of other things. Because, you know, in this togetherness, there's a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And yes, I am the temple of God, and so are you. But when there's a togetherness, it's different. There's something different. Like that when we get together on Wednesdays, you know, and I'm not saying that we are, you know, holy man of the world or nothing, but when we get together, there is a difference. There is different. And I like it. I shouldn't say I like it. I really enjoy our Wednesdays and church and being here. Is different. You know, just like we are the vine. You know, the vine is it's a together thing. And the branch is it's one vine, but the vine is made out of all this little thing. It's together. So, anyways, it's kind of like I changed my mind a little bit because I was in this. You know, it's just me and God, but there's gain in when we get together.
Just a little follow-up on that. I was sitting there thinking, and you know, see, it has to be you and God only so that you fit into that temple that involves all of us. You know, because it says the body and Christ is the head, and they all have to, every part has to be there to be functional, to be, you know, the what God wants. And so, And you know, I go through that a lot of times too. I got to get between me and him. It's between, you know, and whatever. But I know at the same time, I the reason I want to be here is not because you should go to church. Mm-hmm. It's because I want to be here because I want the fellowship. I want to hear the input from everyone. I want to be in that meeting Wednesday because there's a spirit there and it's helped my walk. You know, gain some momentum, and so yeah, it's very important that, and it says, "Come together that you may edify one another." And there's a reason for that. You know, it's a good thing. And God can move, you know. I mean, my prayer this morning was, Lord, let your presence and your spirit be here this morning, you know. And there was something else I thought of when I sat down, too, about... Pablo touched on it from what I had said about, I want to love you with all my heart. You know what? I don't know exactly how to do that either, but I realized I prayed this morning that, Lord, Father, let your spirit come and bring me to that place. Help me do that. Help me, help my heart change that it. I want to love. And you know, at one point, I felt like I loved the Lord more than anything else, you know? And isn't that funny how you can have that 20 years ago? Where did it go? Why did it go? Well, it's, and I've been asking myself that lately. Where is this intenseness that I had at one time? But you know, at the same time, I'm deeper and more grounded in the Lord because of this word than I've ever been. And so I think that's part of it is, like we've said, the more you hear the truth and get the truth, you get conviction, you realize how you are, really, and that how much you need is mercy and grace, and you keep needing this food to feed on. And so I'm just believing it's because he's preparing for a different thing that's going to come that's going to be absolutely profound. I just think there's going to be a people of God that are coming that are going to speak with absolute authority. And it has to do with the violent taking, you know, with authority. I mean, and this is not talking about violence against people or against other Christians. It's violence against the dark side, you know, the enemy, the one that needs to be taken down, you know. And I always thought, I still don't understand how at one time, I don't know if it was Daniel or who, but the angel came and visited and said, I would have been here sooner, but I was warring with the prince of Persia or somebody, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How? What is that? Well, that's another realm that we ain't real into, you know, that we don't know a lot about. But it makes more sense when you think of those things about violence in heaven, you know. And you know what? And we think, well, what if the angel didn't win? Don't even let that come into your mind, because God is the one who sent them, and God is in complete control. So when he wants an angel to win, he's going to win. And when he wants the devil to lose, he's going to lose, you know. And when he wants us to have victory, we're going to have victory. So, you know, it's like, yeah, doesn't that make you feel like it's building for something? You know? It's like a struggle, too, with the fact of we have the word, and it's like, probably impatience must say, Lord, when are you going to show that we have the word? You know, by signs and miracles. You know, but part of that's because I know so many people that I would love to see healed, you know, and made whole and made well, you know. And, of course, not all of them are going to be in the world, but all the ones that God wants are going to be, you know. And so, yeah, anyway.
I wouldn't have got up here because I was so late, but then I just want to tack on to Ken and with and we will still be in those trials until we learn what it is, whatever we're supposed to learn that he wants us to learn as God wills it. So, yeah, that was just an addendum to that. And then this I got a message this morning. Yesterday, Charlie and I went in the sauna heat to an outside venue, although it did have a cover, but very muggy, and listened to a band, girl band. Jennifer's in it, and three other girls that we really like and care about. And one of them, when she was getting down, and she's had physical problems through the years, and Charlie, of course, stopped her. She does this, and she hurts. She's in pain all the time. So he stopped her and prayed with her, as he is wont to do wherever he is. And I got this message from her this morning. "Hey, hon, it was good to see your smiling face yesterday. Thank Charlie for me. Took the dog for a half-mile walk today in the rain, and it was beautiful." So just, you know, he does answer our prayers, and we are showing whatever we have to show, Wally, if we're willing. Charlie's pretty dang willing about that, so I appreciate that.
Amen.
Because she was like this. She took Charlie to die.
That hurt her, doesn't it?
As Pablo was talking about, you know, loving the Lord, I thought about this, the scripture. There's a number of scriptures that where Jesus says, I call you friends if you do what I say. I thought that's kind of a lopsided friendship, isn't it? But he also says, "He that loves me does what I say. He that loves God hears God's word, does what God says." And it's like, how much love do we have towards the Lord? The love for the Lord is shown by our love for His word. And I think Smith Wigglesworth had a deep, deep love for God. And he might not have had all of his doctrines in order. I'm not sure. But anyway, there are some churches that wouldn't let him preach in their church. So I don't know what it was that he preached that they didn't like. But anyway, he had a phenomenal healing ministry, as well as a preaching ministry. And some of his messages were so anointed and profound that people wanted him to write a book, you know, write books about it. And he says, "I'm not going to write any books. We already have one." So that shows you whose word that he thought was the most important. In the book of Malachi, and this had to do with what Pablo was talking about, I thought of it when he said it. In chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "And they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not." And so, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And for whatever else that we see, that is in all the translations pretty much the same up to that point, until people begin to fix their own doctrines in and decide what means what. But anyway, if the Word was with God and the Word was God and the Word, this is the what we're understanding. See, by the exceeding great and precious promises of this Word in being taken into our system, engrafted into us, and there's a thing, it says the engrafted Word. By us having this Word being established in us by God Himself, and if we become partakers of God's divine nature, is that going to give us a relationship with God that we're not familiar with? If I develop that nature, because I am taking in this Word, and I'm coming to the place, I really don't want to read or hear anything else except this. That is a milestone. That's a major, major thing for me, and I'm not boasting about it. I'm not in any way. I'm just coming to the place. The only thing that I can see that's worth hearing is what God has to say. I'm not the Lone Ranger in this. There's a lot of other people around the country that are beginning to feel the same way because I'm hearing about it. God is going to raise up a people. If Jesus only spoke what the Father told him to speak, do some thinking. And if God is going to put His Word, He wants to write His Word in our minds and upon our hearts, who are we going to become? What are we going to become? If it's in my mind and in my heart, it's going to end up, that's all I'm going to be talking and saying. Yes. Do you follow me?
Yes.
And if I do, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be loving the Word with all my heart? Am I going to be loving God with all my heart? Am I going to be loving the Son with all my heart? We are gaining momentum. And I am glad, you know, that we feel like I don't love Him like I should. I don't love Him like I should either. But my point is, God is gaining something in us. He's putting something in us. My love for God increases on a daily basis. My love for the Son. You know, a major, major thing is Stephen, when he dies, the heavens open up and he looks up and he sees the Son of Man. He didn't see a God being. He saw a glorified man standing by the throne of God. Is that a major revelation?
It is.
You don't love Him as we can. You know what? We have been taught for so long with false concepts that we have not really known who the Son of Man is or who God's Son is. And God is opening it up to us. So how valuable and vital is this? It will change our love relationship with God and with the glorified Son of God. Mm-hmm. We'll know what it means to love Him.
We need God. And there's something in us that doesn't like that. You know? I think it comes from Adam and Eve, taking of the fruit and having their own knowledge of good and evil or whatever. You know? Some kind of independent streak or whatever. But we need Him. We need Him. And people are going through difficulties now, you know. And there's things that seem so. See our own personal inadequacies, seeing how just a raft of those things. I too would hear that the song. Song service and hear, oh, I love you deeply, Lord, and I don't know about that. You know, it doesn't, you know. I'd really like that. But whether, you know, if I make an honest assessment of my condition, no, it falls considerably short of that. Well, I think that stuff is just a demonstration that we need Him. If something good's going to happen, it's because He's going to supply it. We start cranking it up in ourselves, and we get a long ways there. We don't need God. don't need Him. I think we just have such proof, and we need a lot of proof, but we have such proof that we need Him. And we have a good God, a good Father, who is going to supply our needs. You know, and so the things that we aspire to, the longings that we have for Him, the great disappointment in our own shortcomings, our own inadequacies, whatever. He'll supply. He'll supply. And I hope that we will know in that day that it wasn't us. It was God who we really need responding to our needs. That's what I... So, when things... Oh, such a long, long way between what we are and where we ought to be. Ooh, that's a long way. Ay, ay, ay. Well, we need Him. We need God. Yeah. We need God. And I don't think that kind of frustration, you know, that sense that I'm talking about is, you know, what does that scripture go? Is He going to call us to the birth and then give wind or whatever? You know, I don't think that stuff is in us without the Lord. He's going to respond. He'll respond in His good time. Not in our good time, in His good time. Yeah. He'll respond. Let me tack on a little bit to what Jean brought about the text that she got from the lady in the band here. I have prayed with her several times, and I don't know the whole story there, but it's my understanding that they were somehow in some charismatic fellowship at one time.
She was. She was.
Yeah.
Before
Jack. Okay. And yeah, I don't know, and I don't need to know, but she isn't now. And you know, when things go bad in churches, I don't know if she. I don't know what happened, but when you are no longer in fellowship in a place where, boy, it was important. She got a beautiful voice. Oh, my, she got a beautiful voice. And I think she was in music ministry. You know. Anyway, I just want to be able to convey, hey, you might not be in fellowship anymore, but that doesn't mean you can't be in fellowship with God's people, receiving whatever. I think that is a good message to convey. You know, be willing to go ahead and pray with someone. Now, it'd also be nice to have her back better. but you're still in a greater fellowship. Don't feel as though just because you're not the place where you were, some bad feelings can arise in those circumstances. You know, defensiveness and all sorts of, you know. But no. Don't confuse that individual fellowship with a greater fellowship and fellowship with the Lord, too. Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking a lot about, the washing of the water of the Word and some of the changes that, you know, it sometimes I think, wow, it's been, you know, how many years since we've been listening? And Charlie made that point, I think, maybe last Sunday night, or I don't know, but at some point. We've been doing this for 20 years. Same message for 20 years. And I'm thinking, on one hand, it seems like a long time. On the other hand, I feel like now that it's been 20 years, some of that washing of the water of the Word is starting to work. it's starting to wash. I'm feeling the wash. And this happened not long ago when I was pinned to the wall with something. I had to make a decision. And it was really tough, except for it got down to there's two decisions. You hold on to your own control, your own power, the way you're going to do it, the way that it makes sense to you, or do I want this? It has to be one or the other. You know, when you get to a point where you can just keep throwing something in the back seat. I think of years ago, and I hate to throw my brother under the bus, but years ago, Dale had a car, and after he would go through drive-through, he would just crumple up the bag, and it was in the back seat. And the back seat of Dale's car was just like full of whatever. And this is just the image that comes to mind. You know how you could be going through life, and there's that thing that, and you just throw it in the back seat. If you're not looking at it, it's back there, but you're still carrying it around. And you still need to have the car cleaned, but you're holding on to this, you know? But just because you're not looking at it doesn't mean that you're not still carrying it around. Well, with a particular thing, today was the day of salvation for this, you know, for this situation. And it was the day. And I had to make a decision. It was really tough. And God was really faithful to come through. And what I feared would be this really awful situation turned into one of the sweetest things. And, you know, for a couple of weeks, I've just been thinking, wow, what a miracle. I witnessed a miracle. That thing that I feared was something that, I don't know, it was different. And I praise the Lord for that. But what I'm also aware of is it's time. I can tell that the Word, instead of me wanting to preserve myself and my dignity, and you know how the world says, you know, you be you, and you be strong, and you be you. It's something I had to lay on the altar. And actually, I had to lay on the altar. It was me. It was my self-preservation, my control. I can do this myself, having to let go of that. And that's hard for me. It's really hard for me. And I think I know where I get some of that from, who likes to do it for himself. I was thinking of, you know, Jesus when, and I'm back in John, in the 13th chapter, verse 31, they had, there was just the section on, Jesus says, he it is to whom I shall give the sop when I've dipped it. This is the one who's going to betray him. Well, you zip down to verse 31, and I'm thinking of what Jesus did the whole time that he was here. And it's becoming so clear that he was the Son of Man, that there was a man. And the words that I speak, these are not of myself. I speak what I hear. I speak what the Father tells me. And I'm thinking back to when Adam was in the garden. And it said that God and Adam, they talked in the cool of the evening. They talked, and I'm thinking, God wants to have this communion with us. And then the second Adam, and I think of Jesus, he got up early in the morning, and when he would go to the garden and pray, and I'm thinking, he heard his Father. And then that communion that he had, he then says, I only speak what I hear of the Father. And we're supposed to take those words that he spoke, and that's the word that we're supposed to eat, and this is what we're supposed to be taking in, and he only speaks that word. What if we are so full of the word that was given to us, for us? This is supposed to be our food. If this becomes our sustenance, not all the other things in life. It's the opposite message, not only of what you hear in the world, but it's also the opposite message of what you hear in a lot of, you know, a lot of churches. I'm going to be, I don't know, take a stab here, and I'd say very few churches, if you could count them on your hands, I don't know, only God knows, how many are saying, put everything else down and eat this. Eat this like eternity depended on it. Eat this. What Bob Smith says, who cares? It means nothing. This is the only thing that matters. Well, anyway, here Jesus is in this communion with the Father. And jumping to verse 31, he says, and this, it was in the evening, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now. This was at a point where he knew that the process was going to happen, where he was going to be, you know, taken to the cross. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. And it's a lot of glorify hymns, but Jesus wants, he was glorified in glorifying the Father. And he was, the Father was glorified in Jesus just being a vessel of his word and being obedient, just being obedient and not wanting to hold on to that self-preservation, in being a lamb led to the slaughter. That's where he was glorified. And our calling is to glorify God. And we do that when we don't depend on our own self-preservation. When we give it up. And that was just in that one situation that I was in, that God was so faithful. And I'm humbled. Boy, is it easy to see, wow, He worked a miracle in something that I just didn't see. I didn't see the miracle that he did. But coming full circle with what I want to express to you is that the washing of the water of the Word, it might have taken 20 years for me to get that area of my life unraveled, to let the Lord unravel it, because I want to glorify him. And what if I can't, if I hold on to what I can do for myself?
Right.
And some of those things too, we have to choose to, it's okay if someone doesn't like something about me or something. I need to be careful what I say. But the offenses, I'm thinking some of the barbs that were thrown at Jesus, and much worse. You know what he was offended at? It's not what they thought and what they said. It's when they offended the Holy Spirit. Now that made him want to throw over those tables in the temples. They were defiling the Word of God. But pick on me, you don't like my nose. Oh, don't care. And we can't be easily offended. I remember years ago, Dad brought this scripture to my attention, Psalm 119, and I don't remember the verse, but this is something that I had to claim, because I was at a point in my life and marriage where every little thing offended me. Oh my goodness, I was offended. And I'm thinking, I didn't even think I was that thin-skinned. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I remember sometimes saying that, I don't know, maybe 50 times over and over and over and over, and praying it and claiming it at the same time, but not being offended. that, and I want, I can see that that's where we need to be. And I love, you know what I love about you, Charlie? I love that even your wife knows wherever you go, it's not about appearances. It's about, there's a need, and there's a desire in your heart to just fill a need. Just fill a need. It's not about what comes to you. It's about knowing there's a need, and your Heavenly Father just wants to fill that need. And I love that about this fellowship, how we're blessed by each other, and I'm encouraged. I'm so encouraged by hearing that, and that's something that, as we've, over the last couple weeks, conversations about mom would come up, and she was the one who, in the middle of Kmart, she would just be walking down the aisle singing in tongues. And of course, as children, we were horrified. And Steve, you know, often sat in the car, didn't want to come in, but it's the truth. What a wonderful way to be so filled with the belief that this is what's true. All the other things are the things that are going to pass away. This is the truth, and to walk in the truth that God is more real than the things around us. And it really is converting. It's being converted, having our minds converted into a whole new way of thinking, instead of being muddled down and weighted down with all the things of the earth. And yes, we need to eat, and we need to, you know, buy clothes, and you have to put gas in your car. I mean, there's all those things you have to do. But your love, your what drives you, what brings you joy, comes from the Lord. And that's a conversion that I think that 20 years is just, you know, for me, 20 years just gotten me here. Getting here to the point where, yeah, I really believe, Lord, that's what I want. I want to walk in that and let go of all the other things that, the sins that we take on, believing that the other things are more important, or that that would bring us joy. So I don't know if that made sense, but I did want to just, I want him to be glorified. Dad made a comment at breakfast this morning. I don't care what anybody thinks, what anyone says. I just, when I get there, and the words he said, when I get to heaven, I want him to like me. And isn't that, if you just boil it all down, mm-hmm. when we, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's not going to be based on all the other things that we did in this world. It's actually going to be, did you eat this? Did you love me more than all the others? Because he was glorified in Jesus, and he wants to be glorified in us. And it's only going to happen through Jesus.
I want to read a scripture, and then I want somebody else to read it out of some other translation. In John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh." Somebody else read that out of a different translation than the King James. I want to point out a really important.
"And the Word became a human and lived among us."
John 1:14, the first line.
Yeah, John 1:14.
What's it say?
"The Word became a human and lived among us."
Okay. In the King James, it says, and the Word was made. But in most other translations, it says, the Word became. I have something that I want to present. And this is for consideration. It's not for doctrinal beliefs or anything else. But the King James Version is dedicated to the King James of England. King James of England was a staunch Trinitarian. And what they believed was, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and as a Son, so they say, when in the beginning was the Word, we're talking about Jesus. But it doesn't say that. That is the way that they are interpreting this thing. Are you following me? Jesus, who was the Word, was in the beginning with the Father. Okay? And so I'm saying, if the Word was made flesh, and from birth that He was the Word of God, full as it is, then why did He tell Moses, back in Deuteronomy, I will put my words in his mouth? Why did he have to? Wasn't he already that word? Now, I'm being a little cynical here, but I think that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God, born of God, and as a man, he began to become the Word of God. Just like the rest of us are supposed to. And the peculiar thing about him was, he wouldn't entertain anything else. That was of his nature. Are you following me? So he slowly became, because as we see it, as a child, he slowly began. He was taught by his mother, which he's in there somewhere, the scriptures, and it's like he slowly became the Word of God, but probably a lot more rapidly than we do, because we got other things that want to interfere with it. Okay, and so he became the Word of God. He became the Word. God caused him to become the Word. I mean, he says, this commandment I give you the commandments that the Father gave me. If he was the Word, why did he have to have that? Are you following me? Am I making any sense? So I think that as we develop the divine nature of God through the Word, and the more we concentrate just on the Word, the faster the nature develops, I think the Word of God becoming, that He was becoming, is what gave Him the divine nature and the faith and the confidence. When I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, something supernatural happened to me. And I had no interest in anything else except the Word of God. And for several years, I never listened to anything else. I never even watched television. It's just all I did was read God's Word. I read it and I read it and I read it and I read it and I read it day and night. And as a result of it, we saw the power of God upon us. And I believe that that is what is coming to a Word people. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my Word abides in you, you can ask what you will. And we have that same promise. You know, that's a promise. He didn't say, if my Word is in you and somebody else's Word is in you. He said, if my Word abides in you. We have a promise from God that will work if we submit ourselves to God and submit ourselves to the Word and just let the Word form Christ in us. Isn't that Christ in us, the hope of glory? If Christ is in us, it's that Word that's in us too. Are you following me?
Yes, amen.
Anyway.
into what Keith was saying about what you think about Jesus. He became who he was, you know. Anyways, whoever Jesus was when he was a baby, it wasn't the same Jesus when he was in his ministry. Anyways, I just went and there's a scripture that I often quote when they talk about Jesus when he was 12, and he already had a foot in, you know, he was already into some sort of better place, but it says there, and Jesus, he said, he grew in stature, but he also grew in favor with God. So whatever Jesus had in his younger days, was not the same thing he had in his ministry, because he grew in favor with God. He not always had the same thing. It grew, it changed. So Jesus became who he was. He wasn't always who he was. Now, there's some other scriptures that, you know, say Jesus is, you know, before forever and ever, and before the time of the, you know, the scriptures are always. If you want ice cubes, put water in the refrigerator, in the freezer. Then there's another scripture that says you need to go buy ice cubes. So which one is it? But I want to read another scripture, kind of regarding the same thing, but not really. About us also, about us, our eternity, because we are going to have life eternal, right? If we love God with all of our heart. But I love having life eternal. I think that our eternity was eternal in the beginning also. Somehow. I don't know. Therefore, do not be ashamed of... This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the Gospels according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So whatever we got going on in here, whatever it is, was given to us, to not just to Jesus, to us, before time began. So anyways.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I'm going to go back and read before the setting that Keith was talking about. It's kind of interesting. So, I'll start in verse 11. John. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, here's the interesting part. Who were born, not of blood, in other words, their ancestry had nothing to do with it, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man. In other words, I can't will you to be born again, you know, and neither can the flesh. But I got to read it all. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then it says, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Didn't that same thing have to happen to Jesus?
Yeah.
And so, you know, now, there's a little glitch up in the very beginning of the chapter that some people want to claim makes him God, but it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. But we know there's enough scriptures, which Pablo just read one of them, that said, I think it says, we were in the beginning with God also. When he created the world, he already knew who all of us were going to be. You know, so that doesn't make him God, you know. And then it says, you know, that he gave the right to become children of God. Well, that makes you a son and daughter of God, does it not? So,
I was just thinking about the aspect of that. I thought, you want to pray, Lord, I hope that you knew that I was one of them.
That's right.
Let's come up to the front. This has been really... Did anybody else have something that I'm cutting off? Come on up to the front. God bless you. I love what God's doing.